Hello, ladies, and welcome. You're listening to the Wise Up and Rise Up radio show. That's all about empowering you to wise up so you can rise up and increase your confidence, self-love, and achieve your dreams with me, your host, LJ Jackson, on Amazing Women of Power, the world's leading positive programming network powered by Raven International. So if you're a woman that makes investing in your personal growth a priority, or you're looking to be empowered and inspired to do so, then this show is for you. So stay tuned as I interview a woman who is truly the definition of an amazing woman of power, Kimberly Parker. So I'm excited to have her on the show, but before I bring her on, I want to share her bio with you. She's a playwright, actress, inspirational speaker, hearing health advocate, and author of the forthcoming book, The Difference Between Life and Death, Embracing Hearing Loss and Thriving. Kimberly has 10 years of training and experience helping and inspiring others to be interested and excited about personal growth, awareness, and transformation. She holds a BA in theater arts with an emphasis on education, is a certified Virtues Project facilitator, as well as a certified peer mentor. Kimberly has studied courses with Marshall Thurber, including the dynamics of leadership. She also received training through the Personal Success Institute and completed the entire training program, including receiving the Distinguished Honor of Standard of Excellence in the Pace Setters Leadership Dynamics course. She serves on the Board of Trustees for the Hearing Loss Association of Washington and is committed to a life of serving and learning. Without further ado, Kimberly, welcome.
Hi, LJ.
I am so excited and honored to have you on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much. It's really an honor and a pleasure.
For the listeners, I like to give them some value from beginning to end, start to finish. They are two key Wise Up tips for listeners to help empower and inspire them on their journey.
To get out of my comfort zone is tip number one, so that I can grow. And then tip number two is love myself.
Simple but powerful.
Yes. Those things have made a huge difference in my life.
Love it. Well, you were true to your word. You definitely gave us two amazing tips. I am excited to have you on the show. I was so excited that I told my mom. I said, oh, my gosh,
aww.
I can't wait. And my mom said, oh, that is so cool. I said, she does this play, and it's amazing. I haven't seen it, but it's great from the clips that I've seen. And so, Kimberly, tell us about the play you wrote, Lost and Sound.
I'm so excited to be on your show. Thank you, LJ. Lost and Sound, a one-woman play, is a play that I wrote. It is an 80-minute, one-act play in which I play 16 different characters, and it's a combination of monologue, vignettes, where I'm playing two different characters, having a short conversation, solos, in which I sing, and what the play is about, basically, is the story of my life, growing up with undetected, untreated hearing loss, eventually becoming deaf, legally deaf, and then receiving the gift of hearing again with a cochlear implant, which is a technology, basically a bionic ear, and it restores that sense of hearing. It's the only sense of the five senses so far that science has been able to restore. They're calling it the miracle of modern medicine. And I tell this story from the perspective of my husband, my mother, my son, myself at three different ages, and a couple of strangers that I meet along the way, as well as a character called Dr. Weissman. And Dr. Weissman is a professor of audiology at Acoustic University, and he teaches the audience about the biological and psychological and social effects of hearing loss. She has about four different parts in the play where she's educating the audience about living the hearing loss. So there's a little bit of a factual, that was my Dr. Weissman voice.
Yeah, I was right there. I was there with the white coat.
Yes, yes. And so since I'm playing 14 different characters, I use accents to differentiate the different characters. My mother has a New York accent, and I used to register my voice for my husband and my teenage son. And so, you know, I've got ways to show the audience who's talking. And it's also a story about... It's really a very complex play. That's kind of the middle layer of the play. And over that is a beautiful story of a mother and a daughter story of a relationship and of forgiveness. And on the very top of that is a story of coming into her own power and accepting her own greatness and kind of having a spiritual awakening. And so I'm just so proud of this play. I completely must confess that it came through me. I don't take complete 100% credit for this play. I mean, I did the work. I did the action steps. I certainly rehearsed. I produced it. I perform it. However, it certainly come through me. And I really believe that I am giving to the world.
Before we go further, I just want to remind you that this show is brought to you each and every week by PersonalPowerWithin.com. And you don't want to miss our live events and the opportunity to spring into action, because increasing your confidence, self-esteem, and happiness is always a wise decision. So be sure to go to my website and check out some free resources and some great books just to get some opportunities and ideas and ways you can begin the personal development process if you haven't done so. Okay, now back to the show.
And what inspired me to write the play? Is that another question you're going to ask me?
Yes, I was just
okay.
Trying to, you were reading my mind.
Okay. What inspired me? I was studying at Gallaudet University doing some postgraduate work there to study to become... And this was before my surgery, so I was really struggling with deafness, and I was using different assistive technology, FM system, to amplify everything because my hearing aids were no longer working. I had profound deafness by that time in my life, and I really took this program because I didn't know what else I could do for work. There's not a lot of jobs for deaf people, and so I took this training program so that I could be a peer mentor and educate and advocate for other people with hearing loss and teach them how to live well with hearing loss, and also give PowerPoint presentations to, you know, doctors of audiology and, you know, people that come to the library to learn more about hearing loss and this kind of thing. And I was staring, I was looking in the mirror. Now, I signed up for it's a 2-year program, and 1 year into the program, I received the cochlear implant, and my life started changing because I was hearing, and I went from understanding 12% of speech to understanding 92% of speech. Those results are really remarkable. My audiologist made me promise when I told the public that I would tell them only about 1% of people experience those kinds of results, and I'm so grateful that I'm one of them. So the average restoration of hearing is about 60 to 70%, which I would have been very happy with, having come from 12%. So my life, I stopped changing. Communication got easier and easier for me, and I was, by this time, I was working on an internship with a company who wanted peer mentors to educate the public and doctors and you know, do PowerPoint presentations and speeches to educate the public. And I was practicing in front of a mirror and my PowerPoint, because I had it coming up in about a week, and I just had this quantum moment where I just remember it was so clear, where just everything shifted and changed for me. And I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, I can do something bigger than this. I don't really want to ride this vehicle to educate and advocate for others. I am an artist. I am a writer. I am a singer. I am a storyteller. I'm an actress. And I want to do something much bigger. And I want to do something creative. And I'm practicing these PowerPoints in front of a mirror, and I'm bored already, and I haven't even really started. So I, and just to let your audience know, I was a junior in college, on a scholarship, studying theater, wanting to be an actor, a writer. When I was diagnosed at the age of 22, my junior year in college, this is all in my play, with a profound, severe to profound hearing loss in both ears, and I was devastated. And I didn't know how I would ever become an actress. How could I do this? Because I was losing my hearing, and it was progressive. I would eventually become deaf. So it's sort of all coming around full circle now. I'm coming back to what my love and my passion and my dream is, and always has been. I did finish my degree because I had 1 year left. I married a wonderful man who I'm still married to today, 25 years later, have raised 2 beautiful sons. And 3.5 years ago, I got this gift of hearing, and I'm going back to my roots and what I love. So when I looked at myself in the mirror and I had that epiphany, I remember hearing my other classmates. You know how we make up stories in our heads about what people say and what they'll do? And I heard my classmates say, what are you doing walking away from this internship? Are you crazy? There's no jobs out there. we would kill to work with this woman because she's doing great work in the world. And I just ignored all the voices. I knew in my heart what I was called. I feel like it is a calling, LJ. There's no doubt in my mind. And I wrote a letter of resignation. And incidentally, right after that happened, doors just started opening. Because I shifted and I set an intention and I said, I'm going this way. And I had no idea how I was going to do it. I had no idea what was ahead of me. I just trusted that something greater was in store for me. And I believed it. And I mean, a lot of has happened since then, and there's a lot of other things in between. That's really what inspired me to do it, is I wanted to help people in a way that was approachable, that was interesting. That, honestly, I think there are a lot of more people are going to come to a play, a one-woman play about this topic, than are going to go to an afternoon at the library and listen to Hearing Loss 101. And I wanted to reach thousands and thousands of people. I didn't want to just reach a small part of the population. I wanted to reach as many people as I could. And not just people with hearing loss, people with normal hearing. I want to be that bridge, that gap of that bridges the understanding, because I've lived in both worlds now. I have experienced both worlds now. And there is so much misunderstanding and myths and misconceptions about hearing loss. And there's so little education about it. So many people know, so just about everyone knows someone with hearing loss, and they don't know a lot about hearing loss or how to communicate with people with hearing loss or what to do or where to go or what resources are available. There's just not a lot of education out there. So my play covers all of that in a moving way that just engaging and entertaining and awe-inspiring. And that's the feedback that I'm getting from people.
And Kimberly, as you talk about that, that makes me think of, I have a cousin who's deaf, and as far as I know, he was born that way, or, you know, he's been deaf since he was a little boy. And, there was times where I learned some sign language and was able to communicate, but then I stopped practicing and lost it. So the next time he came around to talk to me, you know, I was just signing that I don't remember. And he's like, what? And so then it went back to just kind of like the writing on paper or scribbling. So help, educate myself and the listeners and just and share some tips and tools possibly and how we can communicate or support our one another.
That's a wonderful question, and thank you for asking that. I just want to acknowledge you for your empathy and your compassion for your cousin. First of all, I'll tell you, there's a big difference. There's along the spectrum of hearing loss, it's a large spectrum, and being deaf and learning sign language, there's culturally deaf, there's legally deaf, which is what I am, and then there's lots of stuff in between. I won't go into all that. Culturally deaf people, it's a part of their culture. Often their first language is ASL, American Sign Language, and they have a community, often other friends and family and teachers that that learn sign language, and that's their way of communicating. And I've never learned sign language. I don't know sign language. I wasn't born deaf. I was born hard of hearing, and I eventually lost my hearing and became deaf. And I still don't know sign language, and I don't know very many people who use sign language. I've grown up in a hearing world. Even though I wasn't completely hearing, I certainly wasn't culturally deaf because I didn't have a culture and I didn't have a language. My first language is English, and I didn't understand half of it. And over my lifetime, I understood less and less and less of that language. So I was sort of kind of in the middle, not really in either world, you know. So
yeah.
As far as communicating with someone whose language is ASL, that's their first language, wonderful. Take classes. Learn simple signs. They will so appreciate the effort that you make to connect, to communicate, and, you know, practice that. And for people who are on the other, you know, on the rest of the spectrum, from, you know, mild, moderate, severe, profound hearing loss, there are other tips that you can do to communicate with them. Oftentimes, people with hearing loss, there's a bit of denial that goes on in initial diagnosis. And initial diagnosis, on average, it takes a person 7 to 10 years to begin treating their hearing loss after they're diagnosed. It's alarming, but it's true. It happened to me because of that denial. They don't understand that there's a difference between hearing and understanding. And so you may say something and they're like, I hear, but they're not understanding the word. And if they have a high-frequency hearing loss, they may not be understanding consonants. And if you're not understanding, the consonants are very high frequencies, like S and T and P and Z and G and E, and it all sounds the same. And so if you're not getting the consonants that are usually at the first of the end of the word and you're only hearing the vowels, which are in the low frequencies, A, E, I, O, U, you cannot understand full words. So you're only understanding a word at a time and grasping. So, and not everyone understands that. Even a person with hearing loss doesn't understand sometimes, especially if they're not completely accepting their hearing loss. What you can do to help people is always face them when you speak to them. People with hearing loss have, over time, developed some speech reading abilities to take in your facial expressions, your body expressions, to help them make sense of what's going on. So that's like the most important thing, is always face someone when you're talking to them. Secondly, make sure that you speak at an even pace, slowly and clearly, and articulate as best you can, so that they can understand the full word, the consonants, the vowels, and we speak so fast in our culture nowadays. Everyone's in such a hurry, and there's so many distractions, and so just slowing down the speech is huge. That's a really big help, and you don't want to go, you know, really slow, because then that's almost condescending, but just an even pace of speech, and then also, make sure there's nothing over your mouth. You don't want to talk with your hand over your mouth, and they cannot see your mouth. Always make eye contact. And then ask that person, what is helpful for you? How, if they are an acknowledgement of their hearing loss, maybe they're treating their hearing loss with hearing aids, and they're learning about some communication strategies, and maybe they're using some assistive technology to help them amplify sound and participate more in events, you know, theater and that kind of thing. Ask them, how can I best communicate with you? What is helpful for you to best, you know, understand me? Because it's different for everyone. You know, not everyone uses the same technology. Not everyone uses the same strategy. And some things are more helpful than others.
Thank you for that. And on that note, Kimberly, what would you say? You had started to touch on it, and I'd like to hear more about how the play has impacted people.
Well, that has been the most rewarding thing for me, as the playwright and actor, and this is exactly why I created it. People are finding that they're experiencing a transformational change, which is exactly why I wrote it. I wanted to use theater as a vehicle for social change, to get people to sit up, take notice, think, and take action in their lives. And some of the responses I'm getting is, you know, it's inspiring people. The story itself is inspiring. The way it's told and the characters that tell it are just inspiring, and people are learning from different perspectives. And that's powerful, too, because it's not just me. It's other people, my mother, my husband, my son. It's their perspective, too. And that's the thing. It's not just me having this experience of hearing loss. It affects the whole family. Hearing loss is everyone's problem. It's not just the person with hearing loss. And the good thing is there's things that we can do to include each other and reconnect. One of the most wonderful testimonials I got was a mom. She came up to me after the show, and she had tears in her eyes, and she said, "Thank you so much for writing this. I am so glad I saw this play." She said, my son was diagnosed with hearing loss 2 years ago, and I have been in denial about it, and I didn't even know that until I saw your play. And I am going to get him some help. I'm going to take him back to the doctor and get him tested, and I'm going to get my son the help he needs." And that really touched my heart, because I was diagnosed when I was 8 years old with moderate to severe hearing loss, and my mother denied it. And I went on all through my life not knowing I had this hearing loss. And then I was diagnosed when I was a young adult, 22, and a professor in college pointed it out to me, and he said, "Go get your hearing tested." And then I was diagnosed by that time, it had reached the stages of severe to profound, so it had progressed. And I had the memory of being 8 years old in a black box, raising my hand with these beeps, taking a hearing test. And I called my mother and I said, and this is all in my play, I said, "Mom, I just remembered I got tested when I was 8 years old." And she said, I don't know what you're talking about, honey. What is this about an audiologist? I have no memory of that. I don't understand." And I said, "How could you not remember this? Mom, I distinctly remember being in the audiologist's office and having this test, and he turned to you and said, 'Your daughter has a moderate to severe hearing loss and would greatly benefit from hearing aids.'" And she said, "Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I don't remember any of what you're telling me, but I believe you. If you say that happens, then I believe you." And for the next 24 years, I doubted it if that day ever happened. I would question myself, wondering if I made it up. And so I didn't even remember that memory until I was 22 and I was diagnosed again. And my mother still did not have any recollection of the memory until I was taking the coursework just a few years ago at Gallaudet, and I asked her if she would interview. I had an assignment, a writing assignment. I had to interview a parent with a child with hearing loss. And I went to her house, and she said, "Oh, my gosh, I've had this memory surface. It's a memory I've denied for years. I don't remember being there at the audiologist when you were 8 years old, but I remember going to my women's group and telling my friends that my daughter has just been diagnosed with a hearing loss, and I have no idea what to do about it." And I was 8 years old, and that was huge for me, LJ. It was like affirmation. It was like I was filled with such grace, you know, that she had that memory, that it was true. I was diagnosed when I was 8, and she denied it. And it's so common. The denial is so common. It's so great. So I've done a lot of my healing work through that, and that's the forgiveness part of the play that's so beautiful. And what's so cool, I don't want to give away too much because
I honestly feel like I'm getting like clips as you share, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, okay, I can't wait."
My mother has hearing loss, so I have genetic hearing loss, and my mother, a year after I got my cochlear implant, my mom got one. And that is in the play. And there's a beautiful scene towards the end of the play where we share some moment, and it's just beautiful. And it's just been quite a wonderful journey. And writing this has been so healing for me. I did a lot of healing work before, and I've forgiven my mom years and years ago. However, writing this, and it's just been a wonderful experience for me. And my mom loves the show. and my mom is hearing now electronically, and it just changed her life. She can hear her grandchildren on the phone. She's going back to, you know, groups and doing things because she had started to isolate. Hearing loss isolates you from others. But my mom and I, since we both have hearing loss, we've always had this real special connection all through our lives because we just got each other. We understood each other. And so, you know, that's part of the play, too. And I have, there's a lot of scenes in that 80-minute one act where I'm, you know, communicating with my mother. And I was saying I don't want to give away too much because we actually are releasing a copy of the DVD because people were asking for it. I taped the debut in Seattle and for a promo so that I could send out the promo to get bookings, you know, around the country to do this play. And people wanted to buy it. They're like, are you taking this? Where can we buy it? After the show, they came up to us and said, we want to buy it. We want to buy it. Release. However, since so many people asked for it, we went ahead and hired a editor. And the editor has been working for a couple of months on it. It's just finished. My DVD is captioned.
Oh, perfect.
Yes. And it's going to be released on my website in about a week.
Yay! Woohoo!
Yay! Yay! Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting.
That's
and I
awesome.
love to perform this show. I just love it.
So, Kimberly, since you love to perform it, I'm excited about the DVD because then, you know, more people nationwide can, you know, have instant access. But since you love to perform it, do you see yourself maybe doing a tour of the play?
Yes, I would love to do a tour. And we are looking for venues that will invite us to come and produce this. And I invite you to go to my website. If you want me to bring this to your hometown, I would love to do that. I'm looking for venues that have accessibility. And what I mean by that is I want this to be inclusive. I want everyone to be able to enjoy this play, not just hearing people. And so what I mean by accommodations is that, you know, the venues need to be accessible by either having an FM system or a hearing induction loop so that people with hearing loss can come to the play and they can hear by way of flipping a switch on their hearing aid or their cochlear implant. You can flip a switch and get into a telecoil mode, which brings the sound directly to your ears, which is where people with hearing loss need the sound to be, in their ears, not on a loud. It doesn't matter if I'm on a microphone and it's a loudspeaker. That's distorted. People with hearing loss need an FM system or a hearing induction loop so they can hear right, you know, in their ears. So go to my website and contact me if you want me to bring this show to your area.
Okay, and what's your website?
My website is www.lostinsound.biz, B-I-Z. That's L-O-S-T. INSOUND.BIZ.
So, ladies, that's all we have time for today. Wasn't that amazing show and just hearing about Kimberly and her journey and her play? So if you're in the area, please be sure to go to her play, and if not, then go to her website and grab that DVD and share it with loved ones. I know I'm going to do so. With my cousin and his friends and, you know, just our family and, you know, everyone I know, to be honest with you. So once again, Kimberly, thank you so much for being on the show. It's definitely an honor and privilege, and I look forward to growing personally and growing in my self-love as well and getting to know you more and more.
Oh, me too, LJ. Thank you so much. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye. Take care.
Bye-bye.